Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free.
Welcome to Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels. And today's
conversation is with master coach, Christine Hassler. And I did a little deep dive into Christine. She's been doing this for 16 years. She's been on every show from CNN to the Today Show, goes on and on and on. She's written multiple best-selling books for about 2 decades now. So she's kind of a badass bitch, Cindy.
That's how we like them.
Yeah. Yeah. She's kind of a B.A.B. I made up that little, what is that, an acronym? B.A.B.? Mm. BAP, badass bitch.
Not bad.
And if you're wondering what today's show is going to be all about, she has her master's degree in spiritual psychology, which we're going to be talking about exactly what that is, by the way, and how she works with people. And we're going to be talking about how she helps people deal with their inner child works in. That's what we're.
Yeah.
But listen, I think I'm going to put it in a nutshell for you. You go to ChristineHassler.com and she goes right off the bat, right? She smashes you with it, which I love. It's like, okay, question time. Do any of these ever run through your head? So go ahead and listen, guys. Just raise your hand. Whether you're in the car, just pop up a finger. Here we go. Number one, I feel like something in my life is missing. I'm like, yeah, $1 billion. World peace. I mean, but no, seriously, like, I think everybody kind of, it feels like a little something's missing. We all get a little bit stuck somewhere. I'm not passionate about anything and I'm just going through the motions. I was like, oh, it's a tough one.
Mm.
You're so passionate about this show. That's not you, Cindy. You keep your hands down. I'm at a crossroads and need to find clarity. I hate to say that I have felt that way in the last actually 2 years.
Mm.
I've definitely been at a point where I'm like, all right,
you shift, you know, you change who you are, what you care about, what you do. Like, it's been very odd to go from, people ask me now what I do. And I used to be like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm a trainer. And now it's like, well, I don't really, it's like now I'm more of a businesswoman. I'm like, oh, I've been an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He's like, that's what I do. I invest in companies that I think are, you know, doing great work in health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, whatever it might be. That's how I spend a lot of my time. I mean, I still have the app and the books and all of that. And I love all that. But it's like, what am I going to pursue? I often, these days, I'm like, what do I really want? Like, I don't want a TV show. It's just a waste of time. Nobody watches TV anymore unless it's on Netflix. You know, like, scripted drama. Nobody watches anything else. Like, nobody reads books anymore because they feel like they can get it all for free on the web unless it's like something just so vastly divergent that no one's ever talked about it, or like, once again, fiction or like political books or biographies. I mean, I get it, right? Like, I get, it's like, what do I really want to do? So whether you feel like you've kind of come to the end of the road with something, or you don't know where to begin with something, like, that actually really spoke to me. And she goes on and on, like, I feel stuck in my job and I don't like it. I feel like I'm holding myself back in business. I had my heart broken and I don't know how to move on, and I can't make thoughts of my ex go away. I mean, that, by the way, sounds like hell on earth.
I
have a lot of friends who can't let that shit go. Like, legit can't let it go. You're like, dude, it's like, we're going on 2 years.
Yeah.
One of my closest friends the other day was super, you know, unfortunately, like, when you have kids with someone, he has a kid with this woman, and she did something shitty when he had his son. And, you know, he messaged me about it because we're obviously, you know, you vent to your friends. And I was like, babe, like, this woman needs to not exist. She's never going to change. Like, the fact that you have this expectation that she would do or say something different, she'll never change, honey. And it's like, you know, he's like, instead of guilting the child about spending time with him, she you know, she should have said, like, I hope you're having the best time with your dad. Like, it would have been a normal. Instead, I was like, I miss you. I'm so sad without you. I wish you were here. And he's a little boy. So the kid then feels guilty. He's not with his mom. It's a whole. And it's like, but he's like in this prison of not being able to break free of that unhealthy dynamic. Yeah. And so many of us go through that and don't know how to get out of it. And it's like, people that can't let go of, like, this lost love, even though it was a dysfunctional, fucked up relationship. You're like, that person is, like, straight up poison, like, toxic squared, and yet can't move on from it. Things in my life aren't in alignment. I'm not becoming the person I want to be. I don't have savings. I'm worried about my finances. I have low confidence that affects me. The weight won't come off. I'm sad and stressed all the time. I'm confused about why I can't just be, quote, happy. And I mean, this woman is casting a pretty big net, right? It's
there's a lot out there too.
Yeah, go ahead, toss that out there, see what you bring back. I mean, I think we all relate to that in one way or another, no matter how, healthy, evolved, well-adjusted, successful. Yeah. I mean, there's always...
I know there were times in my life that I used to call it between subway cars or between train cars, because I remember
the hallway. I call it the hallway.
Exactly. Yep. And it's like you act. It's when you're actually conscious that you're between stages of life, which is rare. But it's wow. This chapter definitely just closed, and I'm not sure what the next chapter is.
Yeah. The hallway is hell. One door closes, another door opens, but the hallway is hell.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like one door closes, the other one hasn't even opened yet. You can't even see it yet.
There is no door. It's a padded room, actually, that you've just walked into. Yeah. 100%.
It's a very humbling feeling. But I think probably the idea is to look at that as anything's possible.
Yes.
But sometimes too many choices can be paralyzing.
You know, you feel stuck. You don't have the confidence or the self-esteem to move forward. You feel like you're a victim of things that are out of your control. And, you know, we've talked about this before. There are times in your life where you're a victim, period, end of story. But then it's like, but you can't sit there You know, Mark Manson said it best. Like, yeah, bad shit happens to good people, but you got to take responsibility for how to respond to it. Otherwise, you're screwed. You're screwed. And what I love about Christine is that she helps us really get to the bottom of why we're kind of getting stuck and having a hard time letting go and moving forward. I mean, I just think we've all been there. I mean, she even has over it and on with it.
Yeah.
I sometimes will say to Giancarlo when we're like, we deal with things that are just a nightmare. I'm like, okay, onward and upward, onward and upward. And he's like, he's good at that. Like G can just kind of like let it roll off of his back, you know, onward and upward. And I will occasionally get stuck and like, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe,
you know,
how
I worked for a producer years ago. And he always, when something would go wrong, he would be like, oh gosh, oh no. Okay. So how do we fix this? Let's see, immediately work on fixing it. He started working with another producer who came on board, and that guy, I called him Mr. It's Broken, because basically, just think it, the lamp falls on the floor and crashes. Broken. He's running around screaming, it's broken, it's broken, it's broken. Meanwhile, the other guy's like, great, so how do we fix it? And that, I've taken that thought with me through life. If you can either dwell on what's broken, or you can work on fixing what you can. And I think that's where we can unstick ourselves. So very, very excited to have her on to see what she has to say.
Well, does that mean I've gone long enough in my first segment before break? Are you trying to tell me to break?
No,
you're telling me to take a break.
Okay. I actually wasn't, but sure.
Go ahead. I think that's what you were saying. That's all right. I think
I'm more direct than that.
Wow. Oh, geez.
I think you would have heard break.
And we will. All right. We will be right back with master coach and best-selling author, Christine Hassler. Okay. Who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours. And it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. All right. We are back with master coach and author Christine Hassler. Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Guys, Christine and I just found out that we are long lost homies. I thought for sure that was you, but like I wasn't sure. So we used to work together 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, we're dating us, girl.
I know. Right? I cannot believe that was so long ago. At a little personal training gym on Robertson. When I think we were both really in that, what am I doing with my life phase?
Yes.
And like doing the personal training, but not really loving it, like just like trying to figure things out. And I can't believe it was been 20 years. And I was so excited to be on your show because I was like, this is a bit of a reunion as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I remember, because you wrote a book, I think way before I got on Biggest Loser. And that was the 20 something crisis, or it was like a crisis for 20 year olds where you're like,
yeah,
stuck.
20 something, 20 everything. It was the whole quarter life crisis for
quarter life crisis. Yeah. That was it, dude. That was it. The quarter life crisis. Yes. And I remember being like, holy shit, I'm having a quarter life crisis.
Yeah, me too.
And now, like, here we are. So you're not having a quarter life crisis. You're not having any kind of identity crisis at all. You're very well established. Tell me what the hell has gone on with you the last 2 decades. How did you end up being a guru, homie?
Well, I don't know if I'd reached guru status, but
you don't think?
Even
I think
no,
so.
No, maybe when I'm dead. I don't know. I think I'm still learning. I'm still such a student of life.
All gurus are though. Best teachers.
I guess that's true. You know what? If you want to call me a guru, I will go for it. I will receive that. I'll receive it. You know, even when I was training people back in the day where we knew each other, I enjoyed talking to them way more than I enjoyed training them. I wanted to know about their life. I wanted to help them solve their problems. I cared much more about that than how many bicep curls they did or what their body fat composition was. Right. And all my clients loved talking to me. They just wanted to come. They came and work out, but they really just wanted to talk to me. And at the same time, I was working with a life coach named Mona Miller. And I just was so hungry for personal development. I don't know if you remember this part, Jillian, but when I was working at Your Side, I was engaged and my fiance ended up dumping me 6 months before the wedding. So I was going through all that while I was trying to get out of debt because my previous career had been in Hollywood and sort out my life. And so the 20-something, 20 everything was really a result of my own quarter life crisis, my broken engagement, my failed Hollywood, not my failed Hollywood career. I was actually really successful, but I hated it. So I left. Problems with my parents, financial struggles and health struggles that I went through. And so I wrote this book really for me in so many ways, because I couldn't find a book. There were books out there on the quarter life crisis, but I couldn't find the one that talked about like the inside, the emotions, because I knew the answer wasn't in finding a job or getting in a relationship. There was more internal stuff that was going on. And so that book was
the stuff that gets in your way of like the healthy relationship and the fulfilling job.
Absolutely. Like right. Issues with your parents, childhood stuff you never got over, all the limiting beliefs we have about ourselves, the compensatory strategies that we do to avoid dealing with our emotions, like all that stuff. Like no human being escapes issues from childhood that end up haunting you in your adulthood. Like it all impacts us. We all get impacted in some way or another. And so I just became super hungry for personal development. It helped me so much. It helped me more than just traditional therapy, which I had been in since I was 11 years old. And that really was, that book really was the beginning of becoming a coach, writing 2 more books, being a speaker, leading retreats around the world, hosting a podcast, and just doing what I do now. I eventually went back and got a master's degree in spiritual psychology and consciousness, health, and healing. And this whole world of figuring out who we are, what we want, and how we get it in a really aligned way is my passion. But I had to go through a lot of bumps in the road. Like since you've known me, I've been engaged 3 times. So one fiance dumped me, got 1 divorce, and now married to the love of my life. So that's just my relationship category. I can tell you about a lot of other bumps in the road, but I've been my best student along the way.
I think that's just all so relatable. And the fact that you've been there, done that, lived through it, come through it, and found that light at the end of the tunnel professionally, personally. And as you said, are you still a student of life? That's completely normal. But, you know, you talk about being impacted as a kid and how that affects everything in your adult life. Can you illustrate some of the ways that, quote, inner child goes forward and then makes a mess of your adult life?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more about you're trying to figure out your life and it looks like a mess. We don't consciously, like no one sets out and is like, oh, I'm going to just really try to make a mess of my entire life because that would be fun. We're really trying to get it together. But because we have a lot of what I would say inner child wounding and just stuff we haven't gotten over, we're still struggling. So I'll illustrate with some examples. I'll start with myself and then I'll give some client examples.
Yeah, I want people to like go, oh yeah, that's me. Because it's like, otherwise it sounds so kind of obscure and abstract.
It does. It sounds like psychobabble kind of stuff. So for me, one of the things that I dealt with as a kid was being a super late bloomer, super awkward, big nerd, lots of bullying and teasing. So there was I Hate Christine Club. I since I was such a late bloomer, boys would throw tissue paper at me as I was walking down the hall and tell me to stuff my bra with that. I got locked in a locker once. I was president of the Goody Goody Club. Like I just had a lot of just mean girl stuff happen. God, I hate stuff. Yeah. It's just, in my life, you know, compared to what other people have been through is looks like a cakewalk. But one thing that's important to do, and I'll come back to the example in a second, is when we're looking at our past, not compare it to other people. So a lot of the reason why people don't deal with their childhood is because they're like, well, I was never abused. You know, my parents never left me.
Yes, they weren't alcoholics. They weren't drug addicts. They didn't hit me. Nobody molested me. 100%.
So therefore, I don't deserve to have an issue with my childhood. Yes. And so they just never look at it. Meanwhile, all this stuff is happening in their adulthood that's undesirable and is going to require going back and validating, you know, even though this might not have been abuse or having an alcoholic father, there's still things that impacted me. So coming back to my example, all that bullying and teasing formed, it did a lot of things. One, there was a lot of shame, anger, and sadness that I just held, that I just repressed. Because when you're going through something like that, feeling all the emotions that go along with it can feel overwhelming. So what human beings do is we stuff, we suppress, which is why I got put on antidepressants at a very young age. And then that was a whole nother story about something being wrong with me. I was put on antidepressants, Prozac, at 11 years old. Jeez. So in addition to all the teasing, there was this huge story of like, my brain doesn't work, something's wrong with me. And that was still back in the day where there was even more shame to mental health disorders than there is now. There's still a lot of shame. There's still a lot of secrecy with mental health. People feel like they have to live in the shadows. But even back then, this was the 80s, there was even more.
It was extremely prevalent.
Yeah, I think what's wrong with medication, antidepressants and any medication, is that it's not prescribed in thorough ways. Like our healthcare system, that's a whole nother topic, but doctors really aren't taking the time to really ask, you know, what happened to you? What's going on in your life? It's just, there's a problem, let's solve it, here's a pill. Yeah. And so back to the example of how this impacted my adult life is with all that suppressed emotions, I had depression, and being on antidepressants, like I didn't feel a lot, period. So I wasn't feeling a lot of the joy and excitement for life either. With that story of not fitting in, not belonging, I thought, okay, well, and this is what we all do. Whenever we feel less than or hurt in one category of our life, how the ego and how part of our psyche survives is it has to overcompensate in another area. Otherwise, it's like no way out. So I overcompensated for all my insecurity, because we could just sum all that up in massive insecurity, by being a huge overachiever. I thought, if I don't have friends,
but see, why is that
no
bad?
One likes
I'd be
me.
Like, I don't see why that's bad.
So why it's bad is because it's like a bucket with holes. There was no amount of achieving that would ever solve the wounds of my childhood. Because what I really wanted, Jillian, was to be accepted, to belong, to be loved. And by the time I was 25, I was an agent in Hollywood representing TV writers, producers, and directors, like such a young age to reach that level. But my massive overachieving is what got me there. Outside looked great. Inside, so unhappy. And it was like I would reach a level of success and expect all my problems to go away. And they wouldn't. It was just like it highlighted the emptiness. So achieving ambition, having a passion for things in life isn't bad at all. That's awesome. But that overachieving in a compensatory kind of way, where I'm looking for my achievements to heal and fill the void within me, that's a dead end. So another example.
Your worth. Yeah, I totally get it now. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at relationships for a moment. So let's say that you had a father who never said he was proud of you, never said he loved you. You were like always seeking that love, that validation. He was emotionally unavailable, distant. And so as an adult, you're going to go out looking for a partner. It doesn't matter what gender they are. You're going to start looking for a partner that's like dad. That
right,
could come
so
male
you
or female.
Change that person, right?
Exactly. Yes. So I'm going to look for someone who's emotionally unavailable, who's a little distant, who's shut down, and hope that that person can love me to replace the void that dad left.
Conquer that demon. Yes,
exactly.
I totally get it. You know, you talk about like overcompensating in such a big way. Like I know the repetition compulsion of like, I had this problem, I'm going to recreate it and try to solve it. But, you know, I haven't thought about it with regard to like, as a kid, I didn't feel I could lean on anyone, to be honest, really. Mm. And my grandmother, but she died when I was 10. And now I'm like, I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I don't need this. I don't need that. I can handle it myself. I'll pay someone to help me with it so I'm not indebted. And like literally, it's amazing because my girlfriend is like, babe, I hate when you're like this. It's such a gross quality. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
it's just so awful. And it makes people feel awful. And like, you don't need them. You don't value them. They can't contribute. And I'm like, oh, shit.
It's like, you can't let them in because it's too scary. It's like, you're going to disappoint me anyway.
Yes.
So I'm not going to let you in because 100%. I'm protecting myself.
100%. I was reading the questions on your website before you came on. And it's literally all about like, all right, is this you? Are you unfulfilled? Are you having trouble getting over a relationship? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, worried financially, like you're not making progress? Everything is about, in my opinion, just absolutely being stuck in your life.
Yeah. And not knowing what to do about it and trying all kinds of things to get unstuck and then beating yourself up because you're trying all these things and you perceive yourself as failing. It's such a frustrating position to feel like you're on a hamster wheel. It really, really is. And that's why I love and why I always will have my own coach too, because my role as a coach is to like kind of take you into the cave of your awareness where all the writing's on the wall, all the answers are there. But I just have the flashlight. And so many people are just trying to figure out things on their own in the dark. And when you have someone there that can illuminate things, it's like, oh, this is why I'm stuck. And the other thing that's so frustrating about the human experience sometimes, but I'm glad I know this now, is when we try to change things on the external level, but we don't do the work on the internal level, that's when we really feel like we're on the hamster wheel. So let's say we're in like, just bad job after bad job. We keep thinking the right job is going to change things. But maybe what really needs to be changed is our self-worth issues or our inability to speak up for ourselves because we have authority issues or, you know, not really being able to go after what we love because a parent said to us at one point or another, you can't make money doing that. That's ridiculous.
It's not responsible.
Right. Not responsible, not practical. That's my favorite.
Right. I actually want to get into the solution of this, but to give another kind of anecdote about exactly what you're talking about, I was talking to like a guy, a money guy. I have often found sometimes, and I'm not this woman, and I certainly hate to be a victim, but I find that it's very difficult in certain cases to get people to listen. Mm. And I often will just like default to my business partner. I'm like, well, they'll listen to men. And I'll jump up and down. I'll kick and scream. I'll try being nice. I'll try being stern. I'll try all these things. And they just ignore me. Like our lawyer, if I email him, he doesn't get back to me. I literally have to I have to contact my business partner. I'm like, can you do me a favor? Can you email and ask for blah, 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 blah. It's like, and I'm like, well, it's just society. You know, women are just treated differently. And this guy pointed out, he's like, well, you're allowing this. You're not holding your boundaries. You're not following through with your, you know, what do you think about that?
I have a different sense of it.
Do you? So, because it's like, it's very easy to default to being a victim. And you talk about that. Like if you want to get out of that space, when you feel like you're being victimized by this person, that person, society, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that it's me? That it's like my inability to really be like, no, I mean it. No, I'm serious. Because I don't want you to not like me, you know?
Here's what came up for me when you told this story. So you didn't say this exactly about your childhood, but what I got a sense of is that you really didn't feel seen. Like you just didn't feel seen, especially by the people that you wanted to feel seen by. That no matter what you did, no matter how loud you kicked and screamed, like they really just weren't showing up for you, really weren't feeling seen. And it feels like the same thing with this lawyer. It's like, look, this is my business. Like, why aren't you paying attention to me? It has that same feeling to me of like, why aren't you seeing me? Why aren't you meeting my needs? So here's the thing. And it'd be so much easier. Like, I wish I could blame the stuff that frustrated me in life all on other people or society or gender norms or whatever. Like, I wish I could. It'd be so much more, or my parents or whatever. But here's what I've noticed is that, for lack of a better word, the universe, our external reality will keep providing the same triggering situations in our life until we heal the internal wound that basically is at the root of those triggering situations. So for you, sorry to get personal, you can stop me.
No, please, I bring it up for like, it's so much, it's like, do your magic on me. Like, let's
Yeah.
So I think it's relatable for people.
For you, you know, just this, again, like it's not this huge T trauma of like abuse or any or neglect or abandonment, but not feeling seen and not getting needs met, especially by your parents, is a biggie. Yeah, and so you had to develop this whole persona, this whole coping strategy of like, I just get stuff done on my own. And there's a whole story of I can't rely on other people.
Yes.
So that's the belief system and that's the story and that's the lens you look through. That's what you're going to attract. That's what's going to happen in your life until you really heal and deal with that little girl, that inner child who just did not get her needs met. And because there weren't, see, the thing about not having parents that were available is not only do we not get our needs met, but we don't know how to communicate our needs. Because to learn how to communicate our needs, we have to have people that can meet them. So you missed out on a whole developmental stage of your life. And now as an adult, it's like you are doing a good job of communicating to the best of your ability, but this energy is still underneath there. So it's thwarting the communication and you're ending up with the same frustration. And I bet if you feel into it and think about it, a lot of this frustration has remnants of how you felt as a child.
Oh my God.
Frustrated, alone, people don't get me.
Out of me. Yes. It's okay. So we got to take a break. I can feel Cindy about to text me, ping me. but when we come back, I want to talk about the how-to of everything you're talking about. Like how do you actually do that? Like how do you heal when that time has come and gone and those people don't change and don't listen? And before I make everybody feel defeated, we're going to come right back with solutions with master coach and author and my long-lost homie, Christine Hassler. All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, it fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now. Available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian, netsuite.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, guys, we are back with master coach and author, best-selling author, Christine Hassler. And you were kind enough to highlight for me all of the ways and reasons we get stuck and repeat negative patterns. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's step one, right? It's like, okay, there's a problem. Like, yeah. Houston, and yeah, I see, right? Like, I see it, I get it, I know it. And it's like, the lights are on, but now... We don't know how to fix it. And for me to even say after years of therapy like that, I'm still unpacking this shit, says a lot. So you know, what does someone do? You're talking about healing the inner child and all of that. Mm-hmm. How?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wish I could answer this in a podcast or a right. 5-step program. I so
now
wish
write
I could.
The book and give
then
the
I wouldn't have a job.
Right. I get
so,
it.
You know, I have a whole course that goes into this, which we can talk about later, but I want to give some basic things to help people start to see some light in this, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate to
you. Wait, tell me about the course first.
Oh, okay.
And then stop it. Tell me about that. And then, you can highlight some of that stuff for me, but that's okay. Like the meat and potatoes here, because you're right. You can't give it to me in a podcast.
You can't.
Shine that light and then guide people to the bigger solution, which is the book, the course, etc.
Yes. So thank you for that. The course is called Personal Mastery. And I called it that because it's really becoming a master of ourselves, our own emotions, our own thoughts, our own behaviors, and our own spirituality, whatever that means to us, not religious, not denominational, just that we're more than just this flesh and bones, that there's something more energetically to us, and that there's something more, call it universe, call it God, call it whatever you want, that we have a connection to. And so I developed this course because I get this question a lot. How? Okay, Christine, thanks for connecting the dots, but how? We all want to know how. How do I fix myself? First of all, none of us are broken. So that's number one. And if we come at therapy or any personal development work from a fix it mentality, we're just going to end up looping again, because that belief there's something wrong with me doesn't really support our healing. And so the Personal Mastery course really is, gosh, 2 decades of my own work, everything from life coaching to psychology to energy work to all of it, combined into a 5-week course that you can go at your own pace. It's 5 modules. You can do it however you want to do it. And we go through how to heal emotionally, how to change your mind and your thoughts and your limiting beliefs, how to shift your behavior so you're not in patterns and reactions anymore. So you're really aware of why you're doing the things you do. Because if we look at our behavior, only 3-5% of any of our behavior is consciously driven. Yeah.
She's like, that's why you can't do the work alone.
We can't. We need someone to shine the flashlight on it. And, you know, this course is for people that may not, you know, want to go to therapy and may not be able to afford a coach or have done that and want to do more of that self-study work with a guide. And so on that behavioral level, we lower the water of the iceberg so that you can actually see more of what's driving your behavior. And then that spiritual section is really looking at, like, everything that happens to us and for us in life is for our growth. Even if it sucks, even if it's the worst thing that we can ever imagine, there's a deeper reason to it. But we don't want to bypass. Like, I'm not somebody that's like, oh, you just got dumped, that there's a silver lining in everything. Like, rejection is God's protection. I'm not one to do that, because I believe we have to feel and go through the reality of the human experience before we can get to the lesson. So that's why that section is later in the course. The beginning of the course is like, you're in your human experience. I teach you a big thing that people don't know how to do is feel and process their emotions in a healthy way. People know how to cry, but without self-compassion. So they have a cry about something, but the whole time they're judging, they're analyzing, they want to figure out the situation. They feel like a victim. So it's just recycled emotions. Those tears come out, but they just go back in. The sadness is never freed, because in order for us to really free ourselves from sadness and pain, we have to have compassion for ourselves. And most of us have a lot of criticism for ourselves and about this much compassion, like just a teeny bit amount of compassion. And so learning that self-compassion and learning how to feel and release our emotions rather than recycle them is huge.
I have felt that in the last 18 months, right? Where I'm like, okay, yeah. I there were some things that kind of happened and I looked back and then you're like, wow, like this is kind of effed up. Like this was a mess. But I worry then, I'm like, am I like a victim now? Because then there's a stigma to that, right? And then it's like, how do I not feel? There's a huge compassion thing I think sometimes gets lost in, for some of us, in feeling like you're allowing yourself to be a victim.
I'm so glad you brought this up because the whole be strong thing is, I don't want to ever say that to anyone or have anyone say that to me. You know, I went through a loss earlier this year and people were like, you're strong, you'll get through this. And I'm like, please don't tell. That's the last thing I want to hear, because I make that mean I can't feel. I have to just push through. And that's what we get rewarded for a lot in society, is like, let's just be strong because we don't want to be a victim. Right. And victim, like we can only really be in victim when we think that everything happens to us and we have no power in the world and the world is against us and we're just this like powerless piece of flesh just bobbing along life. When we're actually hurt, like whatever happened, whatever happened,
you're like this powerless piece of flesh. I'm like, holy shit, I don't want to be that, Christine.
No, none of us want to do that. And for the most part, we aren't, but we're humans and things happen and we're going to be upset and we're going to feel bad and we're going to feel sad and we're going to feel like we got the short end of the stick sometimes. And that's normal. It's normal to feel that. We just don't want to stay there forever. And right. I think that so many people, because they're so afraid to be a victim, don't allow themselves to have compassion for their human experience. Like if something happened and someone hurt you, or you had a loss, or things didn't go as planned, you had a failure or something like that, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna feel sad. You may feel some shame. You may feel some anger. You're gonna feel some disappointment. And it is irrational to think that we're not. And so just allowing that is, to me, acceptance is the first step. If we get to the how-to, acceptance is the first step to any change. Like I have to accept the fact that I'm sad right now. I have to accept the fact that I lost my job right now. I have to accept the fact that I've been in this pattern for maybe decades. Okay, like let me stop fighting with reality. And that's what drops
that's
us into compassion.
So true, you're totally right. My shrink will say that. He's like, but this is what's real.
Yeah.
This is what's actually happening. But this is what you're actually dealing with. That's like asking up to be down. I'm like, but why can't it be down? Like, but I get it. No, I got it. Okay.
And that why question, that question gets us nowhere most of the time.
No,
nowhere.
You're right. It's just a complete waste. It's like playing out a fantasy. It goes nowhere. It does nothing. That like bargaining stage of, it's like can sit there and say, why did this person do this? Why did they do that? Why are they? And why do you think though that we feel the need to understand it? Is it so we don't internalize it? Like
control. We want control, because whenever, think of any time you've been asking that question, your world just got turned upside down on one level or another. You're in uncertainty.
100%. Yes.
So whenever we're in uncertainty, it's like, I want some kind of control. And if I just know why, that will satiate my urge for control and will help me deal with this massive uncertainty. So that's another big part of healing, is we have to be okay with the unknown. We have to like develop our muscle to be in the uncertainty, to be in the not knowing. And for those of us who knowing things and controlling things and running our own ship and being super independent and having to fend for ourselves and not really relying on other people, that uncertainty is hell on earth. It's awful. And so if we can't control external situations, we want to know why exactly it's happening, because we think that that intellectual knowing will give us some sense of control.
God, you're a girl. I guess there's a reason you became a master coach, right?
Well, I had to figure all this out for myself, you know? And the other thing that's, I think, really important to mention is, because I've been where you are in that, like, and I am in aspects of my own life, that frustration of, I've dealt with this before. I'm still unpacking this. Oh my gosh.
Right.
What has really helped me with that is understanding that we have all these different parts of us. So we're actually naturally multiple. I don't mean we have multiple personality, but we have multiple parts. I'm sure you can think of a time where you're like, well, part of me feels this way, but a part of me feels this way. And a part of me talks to me this way. And so there's actually a therapeutic model called internal family systems, which talks about like we have all these different parts. And we have these parts that are called protector parts. And they form very like way back in childhood. So I'll just use you as an example, if you don't mind.
Please.
So like you had a little girl in there who wasn't getting her needs met, who didn't feel seen. So you had to develop this part that just handled shit, that just took care of things, that just is like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to handle things. I can't trust anybody. Get out of my way. And, you know, that part we could maybe say looks controlling. We could say that that part maybe looks like it shuts out other people. And we could say like, you need to change this. Like this is not, you need to let people in. You need to delegate, like all that kind of stuff. But this part thinks it's protecting you on so many levels. It's like tied to a really, really positive intention, which is it's trying to get your needs met and it's keeping you safe. So what I've had to do with these kind of parts in me, like I have a very big inner critic part because it got developed when I was like, well, if I'm harder on myself than anyone else is, it'll protect me. And I so want to get rid of it, but I've had to learn it has a positive intention. So we have to sort of accept and make friends with these parts that we hate about ourselves, these things that we hate about ourselves, and really ask, what is this positive intention? And how can I get it in a more healthy way, instead of trying to destroy this aspect of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like you're integrating it.
Yes.
And you're redirecting it in a way that is like you're still achieving, you're looking for the positive outcome, but in a way that isn't unhealthy. It's like when I try to teach people to nurture themselves, but not with food. It's like, I want you to comfort yourself and nurture yourself and to feel a sense of control but do it maybe in a way where you're beautifying yourself or you're engaging in a hobby or you're doing it like almost on a behavioral level, not on the deeper level like you're talking about, but it does make perfect sense because it's
the
like
same thing. Yep.
You're integrating it, but you're not trying to deny it or stuff it or shut it down.
Right. You're trying to really understand it and see that it's trying to help you and update it. Because remember, these parts were formed when we were super young. And you know, one thing I have to tell to my inner critic part is like, you know, we're not 12 anymore. You know, we've got people in our life that love us. Like it's okay. We can tone this down a little bit and really work with it. And I've seen that just knowing it's not me, because what's so frustrating, we get in these patterns and we get in kind of these bad voices in our head is we think it's us. And then it's like so much harder to change because it feels like all of us and it feels overwhelming. It's like, how will I ever change this? And if we know it's just a part, it's not all of us, and that we have like a really steady self that's loving, that's present, that's in present day reality, that's in acceptance, that's in compassion, that can work with those parts, they become less overwhelming.
I remember I read a book that my mom actually had given me about obesity. Then it kind of dove into the reasons and the psychology behind why people choose to eat more or why they choose to be a bigger size or why they choose both. And one of the things it talked about was these different actually parts of the individual and how the current adult individual needs to actually acknowledge that now they are okay, now they are in control and almost go back and like comfort and heal and acknowledge like things are different now.
Yep.
I am safe now. And it's like, it's exactly what you're talking about.
That's key. I am safe now. Cause I would say the two basic human needs, you know, we can say love, love's a human need for sure. But if we really look at like what we need in that is we need to feel safe and we need to feel seen. And we can expand upon those, but those are the primary things. Every human being needs to feel safe and every human being needs to feel seen. If you don't have both, if one is missing or two is missing, you're going to spend the rest of your life looking for that. And until you look for it and can find it inside yourself and in life in healthy ways, you will be looking for it in all the places you didn't get in childhood, which means you attract the same kind of relationships as mom and dad, the same kind of job experiences as high school, so on and so forth, the same kind of eating behavior that soothed you as a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Christine, you're every bit as awesome as you were when you were 25.
I don't know if I was so awesome.
I mean, I thought you were pretty awesome. I was pretty impressed that you wrote a book at that age. I was like, damn, what's she doing? How'd she do that?
Well, you definitely impressed me. That's for sure.
You're wonderful. And everybody, tell them again. But I mean, tell them about your books. They're available everywhere. But, you know, what should we start reading first? And most importantly, like, how do we sign up for the course? And you gave me like a special discount.
Yep. ChristineHassler.com/mastery. And then if you use the code, I think you got the code there.
Health.
Yeah.
And you get $200 off, a $200 discount. Really?
Yeah. A lot of them are new to me and new to this work. So, and we wanted, you know, people to really feel like I really just so acknowledge anyone that's willing to do the work, to willing to take an honest look at themselves, because it's not easy. It's way easier to numb ourselves with work, with TV, with internet, with all those things than it is to dive deep. But you know, once we do, oh my gosh, life gets so much easier. It gets so much easier. And I would say in terms of a book, my last book is called Expectation Hangover. And that the course and the book work really well together if you want to look at double whammy. But
God, I wanted to get into that with you. Damn it. I got so caught up in our conversation. I'm like, oh my God, we didn't talk about that at all. And it's another huge problem. Okay. You need to come back because we need to talk about that. Guys, ChristineHassler.com/mastery. Read her books, check out her work. You can see how incredible she is. Thank you so much. And I want to do that segment. So you're coming back. You like it or not?
I will have an expectation hangover if I don't come back.
Perfect. Perfect.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.